This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bula to all our Fijian listeners who would be still celebrating after their huge win over Scotland on the weekend, and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy, the best spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinira Arona. And alongside me is my man, Sammy Wykes.
Yes. Sammy, how are you, brother? Did you nearly forget your name there, did you?
Yeah, I was like, Arona. Just remember that.
Just remember your own name. Perfect. Hey, big show planned. You mentioned Fiji won against Scotland in Suva. They were outstanding over there.
Yeah, you said that was going to be
a sure thing, that one. But I tell you right now, I'm going to ring Tota Gefu and just plus six, he reckons.
Oh, what about the photo you sent me of Tota Gefu
in the coaching box
watching the game? He looked upset, like rattled. He looked like me
arms
when
folded,
I was watching New South down. Wales game three. That was me. That was exactly me on the stands.
No emotion, just blanket face of like anger. And he said plus six. Yep, we'll dive into that game because he was definitely wrong. I was wrong as well, so I own some of that. Plus, we've got NRL round 19. I think all the favourites might have got up this
That's
week.
That's the theme of the weekend, mate.
Shelley Long and our special guest, T. Laid on me. Who have we got? And tell me, it's the one I'm thinking of.
If when you think of NRLW and you think of the Brisbane Broncos, first player that comes to your mind.
My favourite player, my Tongan
centre. We've said her name a number of times on Neesian Footy, and I told you last Friday when I added her to my Neesian Footy All-Stars, Mele Hufanga is joining us here today on Neesian Footy, and I'm keen to hear everything about her, her story, playing rugby union, playing rugby league, her Tongan culture, being, you know, just her upbringing, how much her family means to her, and why she is the person she is today.
Hopefully we're related. That's what I'm going to ask. Hopefully there's some line there that will be related, but looking forward to that chat, my friend.
Moment of the week.
Well, Sammy, I had this feeling when you were messaging me and calling me over the weekend, you were like a proud...
proud dad, eh?
...father for this moment. I was like, man, this guy is so proud. And the reason why, which is why we've decided to join at it here on Moment of the Week, was so Bulldogs, they played the North Queensland Cowboys over the weekend. Bulldogs winning 12 points to 8. They scored two tries to the Cowboys' one, but one of those tries were scored by a young Fijian man, only 19 years old, making his NRL debut, and his name is
Jethro Rinakama.
Left side shift. Dogs close to halftime. Tuwala with a run down the left wing, and he links up with Rinakama. The teenager in his first game on the knock of halftime will put Canterbury Banks down in front, and that has come from nowhere.
Look, I know we've seen this before, players making their debut, scoring their first try on debut, but tell us why, Sammy, this one's special to you.
Special because I coached this kid in under-16s, West Juniors, the local rugby union team here in Sydney, and...
Only a few years ago.
Yeah,
he was playing rugby
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
So he only started playing rugby league at 16. And the reason why this is special because there was a... I saw something in this kid, like 6'3" Fijian. He could score, like finish, as all Fijians do, on the wing. But what I loved about him, he was just so curious, like very quiet but curious, you know, just ask some subtle questions while everyone was, you know, away trying to get ice cream and stuff like that. He was, you know, locked in trying to prepare for the game, and I was just watching him, just observing how he went about his business. And I liked that. And then when he played, obviously there was some, he wasn't the polished product, but I just loved how he tried to get involved in everything. And there was this New South Wales selector there. And I said, mate, I reckon you should have a look at this kid for future honours. You know what he says to me?
What did he say?
He goes, mate, I don't know what you're seeing. I can't see anything in him.
So he's never played rugby league before the age of 16.
No, he played Dogs Harold Matts or something that year.
Was he playing rugby union when you asked this New South Wales?
Yeah, rugby. I was like, mate, I'm telling you, this kid's got something. And he's like, nah, mate, no one's watching him. And I was like, well, I hope you watch that try on the weekend.
Sorry, that's a rugby union selector.
Rugby union selector, yeah, not a league selector.
Rugby league would have picked him up for sure.
Mate, absolutely. And that's exactly what's happened. And so that's my sort of little jab at our rugby union sort of recruiters and selectors. You're not the polished product at 16, but if you see character, you see all those little things, you can develop that.
And I think that's what Cameron Serrato has seen. So 2 years ago, I remember you sent me a video clip, and it was of Jeffro playing SG ball, and he was on the wing, and you're asking, oh, can you give a couple, some feedback on this one clip?
Yeah, because he was asking me.
He conceded this try.
He
sent you this clip,
yep.
And then you've sent it to me. I've gave a full breakdown.
Mate, it was a 300-page book on how to defend on the wing.
Well, 2 years later, he goes and makes his NRL debut for the Canterbury Bulldogs and scores a try.
And did you see that hit that he put on? He came in, he read the defence nicely off his wing, put a nice shot on the opposite centre, and Jethro... That's why you're our moment of the week. And another one has slipped out of rugby union's hands to go to your game
team. Jeffro Rinakama.
My name's Jack Lamb and I'm listening to Nisian Footy.
Beautiful. Let's get into rugby league. T, who are we starting with?
Mate, you said all favourites over the weekend had won.
Is that
it's
true?
Probably the first time in a long time that has happened, because all the NRL tippers out there can just not get a perfect round. And my friend actually said he only got one wrong, which was the Sharkies. And I was like, how did you get the Sharkies wrong? Come on,
are you
mate.
Talking about me? Because I went the Dolphins.
Yeah, you went the Dolphins and they lost. Anyway, so the two games that caught my eye, I thought the Warriors, when they took on the West Tigers in Auckland, after conceding a try in the first minute to Samoan winger Jarrell Skelton, the Warriors responded and kept that momentum for most of the match. Warriors scoring 6 tries to the Tigers 3, winning 34-14. Samoan Chanel Harris-Tavita, he scored a double, but it was the 19-year-old Leka Halasima's try that caught my eye.
And he's 13 out here to a biggie. A good break for the Warriors. Time for one more in the last minute. Dummy half, Fortnite Lesniak. Back across to Tanner Boyd. Left-hand side shift. The tiring Tigers defence to Marty Martin. Back here towards to Halasima. He shakes off one tackle and Halasima, big Leka, slides in to score the try.
So that was off the back of Tane Tuaupiki. He makes a break down the right side. They do a long shift and... Leka finds himself on the wing, but man, he's only 19 and he shrugged off 2 Tigers defenders and just made it look too easy. 19 years old, scored a try. Everyone loves him at Warriors. My question to you, Sammy, when you think back in, when you were younger, who was that young gun growing up who was always going to be the superstar? We've spoke about Jeffro, 19 years old. Now Leka, who was your 19-year-old superstar?
First play that comes to my head is Jared Hayne. Honestly, what he was doing, because we're the same age, what he was doing in the under 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s, where chip and chase for himself, regather, score a 100-metre try, doing all the freakish things, he was able to replicate that at the highest level. So he is the first bloke that comes to my head when it comes to that childhood freak that kicked on.
It actually leads us into the Battle of the West, where Hainesy had many of these games and displayed some great talent. But the Panthers, they versus the Eels, the Panthers looking to go 5 wins in a row. And the Eels, they actually started well, scoring the first try of the match through Fijian back rower Kitione Kautonga. Unfortunately, Kitione, he got injured before half time and had to come off. But a very even first half, 2 tries each, but it was all the Panthers in the second half. In that 40 minutes, they scored 20 unanswered points. Samoan centre, Isaac Tungo, he was my standout, scoring a great individual try and then also setting up the Tongan winger who replaced Brian To'o. Paul Alamotti, he ran down the sideline for a nice try of his own.
Cleary goes right, Papali'i away to Tungo, flick pass to Alamotti. Pass to Okara over the 30, over the 20, over the 10, for the line, dives, try! Josh Adokar's blowing up. I think it's his teammates. Tried to Paul Alamotti. I reckon he got there and he wasn't expecting to.
Panthers win that one 32-10. But a big shout out to Junior Polo, who played his 200th game for the Parramatta Eels on the weekend.
Big congrats.
Huge milestone. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. In the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters couldn't back it up and lost to a team well below them on the ladder, the Capras. They went down 46-30, and the first half did the damage. It was 30-8, and the Hunters couldn't come back. They stay in the top eight, but only just. New South Wales jersey flair Kaviti Silktails went down 34-6 to the Raiders in Nandi. That's it for rugby league. Before we get to Mele Hufanga, Sammy, what do you got for us? Rugby union, a big weekend of rugby union, Sammy.
Great work, T. Yes, massive weekend of test footy, and I was glued to the TV all weekend, so I just felt these piercing eyes in the back of me while I was watching the TV. It was my wife.
Yeah.
Just like going, this is what our weekends have. You've come back from Palau, and our weekend, now you want to watch footy. And I was like, babes, work. It's work. But hey, she gets it. She gets it. She's all around it. But let's talk about the Flying Fijians. They hosted Scotland in Suva, making it the fourth time Scotland have actually travelled to Fiji to play against the Flying Fijians, looking for their second ever win, but looking for their first ever win in Suva. So big occasion. And just on that, I actually really want to echo former Flying Fijian coach Simon Raoulou's comments just around really appreciating Scotland committing to playing test matches in Fiji. You know, they've, you know, when you think of a tier one nation, I don't even think Australia's played in Fiji, you know, for a test match over there. So for Scotland to be able to do it from all the way over there.
And it's only a, what, 4-hour flight from
exactly,
Australia?
Exactly. So Scotland have played there four times now. And he just said, look, you'll be well looked after, Scotland, his comments. So I just wanted to show a lot of love to the Scottish side. The game itself, we mentioned on Friday, T, Nijan Footy Friday, that with, you know, with the Scottish players, a lot of them being in the British and Irish Lions team, they might be a little bit under strength, but honestly, with the firepower that the Fijians have, even with those stars in their team, it would have been a close game anyway, and I still would have backed Fiji to get the job done, and they did. They won 29 points to 14.
What was the weather like? Could only imagine the difference between Scotland and Fiji.
Yeah, there was. It looked a bit overcast, but you know that overcast setting, you can just see it on their face.
Oh, you get out of the bus and you're already sweating.
It hits you right there. And yeah, there was a couple of times there was some forwards really slow getting up off the ground. You know, that look of like, oh, we've got to get to that next breakdown. So it was hot for the Scottish for sure. But what I loved about Fiji in attack, I reckon they're one of the best attacking teams in the world. They have the ability to break open any defense, doesn't matter. And I really love the fact that the reason why is because of their big ball carries in the middle. So like a little bit of detail here. I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes, just a little bit of detail.
I love detail.
You know, they've got five forwards in the middle, right? So think of it like a three and a two split. So if you come from a sideline, you'll probably hit that first three forwards. They'll get quick ball. And then what they're doing really well is the next phase, they're only using two for the next phase, which leaves a lot of numbers on their feet, but they're still getting quick ball. And what that means is that they've got probably already four players on their feet out wide on third phase, but they've got three players wrapping around the back. So they're creating four on twos a lot. So guys like Nasila Sila Ikanevere, Mayana Vanua, they're getting really quick ball as forwards in the middle. And it's just unleashing Rayasi. It's unleashing Caleb Munster to sweep around. And when you've got wingers like Wainikolo damaging like that, they're just creating really, really good opportunities.
The forwards in the middle, they still have a responsibility to keep that, like get a quick ruck, and Scotland defenders in the middle were losing that battle.
They were losing that battle. And you're right, it's a risk because if you don't get that right, it's going to be slow because you don't, especially that second phase where there's only two players, like you could flood that ruck and create a turnover, but because they're winning the advantage line, they're getting head and shoulders through, it just means it's a simple clean out. So
puts them on the back foot.
Puts them on the back foot. And that's what I really loved about the Fijians, the way that they played. But the frustrating bit is the amount of times they didn't execute from the opportunities that they created. That's probably the next piece. If they get that bit right, that scoreline's 50. So big reason why they won, and some other players that really stood up. We mentioned Wanigolo, again, a press, scored a cracking try, beat five defenders. Viliame Mata, number eight. And I think the midfield combo of Tuisova and Sorelli, they were also solid. And it was good to see their lineout functioning well. So they didn't give over any cheap possession from that part of the field. PAX Suva Stadium, highly entertaining game, well-deserved win. Now, T, Australia-New Zealand, 15 against the British and Irish Lions. What did our men, thought they say?
Oh, they're a chance. They should win by six.
Tell you right now, they're one chance, and that was no chance.
what was the final score in this
48-0. 48-0. And
oh, actually, our tipping comp, I went the Lions.
Yeah, went the Lions, so that's why I'm 0-2. But I might have set my expectations a little bit too high. Yeah, Lions were too strong. But I will say it's still a great concept. Some individuals really stood up. Lukan Salakai-Lotto was probably the best game I've ever seen him play. He was physical. He was breaking tackles and just really led, probably the way that a lot of people would have expected him to in every other game. But he was on fire. AJ Lamb, their winger. And I tell you right now, minor Pacifica fans, get excited for Ngani Laumape. He was a freak in that game, and he's going to do some damage for Moana.
He did look good.
He looked the goods. He hasn't skipped a beat. So ultimately, it just came down to probably just not enough time together.
And Lions being too good.
Like, especially in defence, just not enough reps, some role clarity, simple tries being scored. Other results, New Zealand defeated France 43-17 to take that July Test series and win that one. And Shelley will cover the Wallaroos versus the Black Ferns game.
Great work. Let's head straight to Shelley for the long story short.
Hey, this is Sarah Ravatuti, and you're listening to Nation Footy on ABC Australia.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
We welcome back our PNG Orchids and NRLW player Shelley Long. Sorry about that little intro there, Shel. How was your week?
It's been going all right, you know, just ticking away at rehab slowly but surely. So, yeah, it's going good.
With the knee injury, what's the biggest lesson you've learned so far?
Oh, I think for me the biggest lesson I probably learned would be to be patient. I think, you know, no footy player is ever patient, and I think it's really tested me, my patience. So, oh, that's the biggest takeaway. Honestly, just be patient, trust the process, trust the doctors, trust the physio, and just know that they're not keeping me out for this long for just because they want to.
Oh, so you had those thoughts, eh, when they're trying to hold you back progressing to bigger exercises? Yeah, I do understand.
Yeah, you know what? It's ended up backfiring a few times during this rehab process where I thought I knew better than the physio and the surgeon. And again, I still did it a few other times after that, and I think I finally learnt my lesson. Like, just trust them.
Shel, you're not the only one. We can't sit here and throw stones at that because we've done that plenty of times. And then, yep, your knee blows up after trying to do a 10K run when it's not ready, and then you realise, shouldn't have done that, should have listened to the advice. But let's get into NRLW. Big round two. What have you got for us here?
Oh, yes, massive round two. A lot of teams definitely showed that they're here to compete, particularly the Sharks. Last year's grand finalists, they ended up coming out 56-6 against the Raiders. I'm not sure what's going on there with the Raiders. They've had a few new players come over to the club, but unfortunately they're just not clicking well enough on the field out there. The other ones were the Roosters 124-10 against a very hard Dragon side. I thought that game was really great to watch, followed by, again, another tough loss for the Titans, the Broncos winning 44-4. So some big scores this week, and I think definitely fatigue is starting to really come through as the games progress.
Yeah, would you say the Roosters, Broncos, and then maybe the Sharks after their performance on the weekend, that would be, you know, your top three? Cowboys again. I'll make that four. Sorry, Shel.
Continue.
Okay. I definitely think that those three teams, and, you know, you've got to give credit to the Knights. They also put on a great performance in 26-6 to the Cowboys on the weekend. So I would say those four teams are definitely at the top. I think the other teams, you know, that they definitely have a lot to show and prove these next couple of weeks. And I think it's just about gaining that team first mentality, but just clicking as a team, I think.
And when you look at the struggling teams, who would you say would need to start picking up their performances?
After round two, we're already having those chats.
Well,
I suppose there is only 10 rounds.
Raiders, Titans.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair comment.
I would definitely say Raiders and Titans. I think, you know, we talked a little bit the last couple of weeks about West Tigers. Last year got wooden spoon. This year, you know, there's been a few comments thrown about them being the easier team in the competition. But after their performance against the Bulldogs, I think that they're definitely going strength to strength as the weeks go on, and they're finding that balance between, okay, what do we need to do to win, but what do we need to do to work as a team as well, and not just use particular players out there. You know, you've got Salah, who's a really strong ball carrier, but how do the teammates also do their part to make that a better performance?
Are you noticing anything from any of the teams around tactics, structure, something like that? Anyone doing anything different from your point of view?
Not so much. I think you're just kind of seeing teams really use their attack, particularly when you see that amount of points put on their attack is definitely standing out the most for me.
I spoke to Nita Maynard. She plays for the Dragons as well, and she was saying that this year compared to last year, the game's gone a little bit more, a little quicker, and that, you know, it's probably trying to mirror the NRL game, how it's, you know, gone faster play the balls, get the defensive team on the back foot. Would you say that would be a fair assessment looking at the first two rounds?
Oh, 100%. That speed of the game, watching it, like even as a general spectator now, watching that game, it feels a lot faster. The girls are definitely getting gassed a lot quicker. And I mean, as the years go on, the fitness level of the girls always gets better. So for that to be happening, it's definitely got to be faster on the field.
We saw that Mele Hufanga and Tiana didn't score in their games, big score lines, so that was surprising. But what other stars or anyone out there that's really standing out for you come round two?
We called it early on, but Shalom Selsor, she was incredible for the Broncos. I don't know if you guys have seen her try, but she 1, 2, 3, 4 defenders.
Just a wrecking ball.
Goes for the line herself and boots the ball after. And I was like, that is 100% worth a ball booting. Just outstanding performance for her. And I think as a young player, particularly to be so dominant in the game already in the last two rounds, I think we've got a lot to look forward to.
And any favourite Try July celebrations that you noticed over the weekend?
Oh, there was actually a few, but I'm loving the ones that were taken from the years before. I don't know if you've noticed any of those, but particularly the one, I think a couple of years ago, the Roosters did the selfie poster and Chelsea Lenduzzi whacked the ball out of their hands. That one back up again. I love seeing. And then I think it was one of the Dragons players jumped up and reenacted a former Dragons player's...
Mark Riddell.
Yes, try.
Yes, and I saw that the cameraman did Mark Riddell dirty. When they panned to the coaching box, they went to someone on the right side that wasn't him.
I played with Mark Riddell, and I'm sure he wouldn't have minded. Old Piggy.
Piggy He's, Riddell.
He was a character. Did you have a
question? Yes. Hang on. Oh, just before we get to rugby union, the reason why I said Mele Hufanga as well, because we actually have her on today's show. Have you ever lined up against her?
I have actually. In the first year, I lined up against her at our home game, Cowboys versus Broncos. Oh,
how was it?
I think I'm pretty sure that's when she scored 4 tries and became one of the top try scorers in a single game. It was definitely tough to defend her. And mind you, I've been watching her lately, and I think particularly like previous, when she first came to the game, she was dominating, but I think now she's a bit fitter. I think they were talking about it as well previously that she's taken a bit of time off of that 1.2. So when you add speed and you add power, that's a dangerous combination out on the field. And I'm just seeing it. I'm seeing some dangerous tries coming up this season for her.
There we go, the Tongan power all there. Can't wait to chat with her and just dive deep into her story. But rugby league, before we move out, anything else before we get to rugby union? We're good there?
I'd just say definitely some games to watch out for this week would have to be the Broncos versus Roosters on Sunday at 1:45.
That is juicy.
That is, at the moment on the ladder, it's first, second. And I think those two teams bring out the best in each other. So definitely keep an eye out for that game, if not all of the games. But if you need to pick only one, that would be the one to watch.
Okay, who are you picking, though?
Ooh, this is a good one. I thought that these two teams would be in the grand final. So hard to split them at the moment. I'll still stay the Roosters, but Broncos is a big threat.
Sorry, where'd you say, is this one in Sydney or in Brisbane?
This one's in Brisbane, so Broncos home ground.
Yeah, don't tell Melly I said Roosters.
Okay, sweet. I'm going to tip the Bronx then. I'm going the Bronx then. Well, that, I can't wait to watch that one.
I think it'll be a great game, so definitely we'll have to talk about that one next week.
And then on to the Wallaroos versus the Black Ferns. What do you got for us?
Here we go.
Sam doesn't look too excited at the moment, but unfortunately, much to Sam's surprise, the Black Ferns secured a dominant 37-12 point victory over the Wallaroos in Wellington. Again, this now adds to their unbeaten run of winning against the Wallaroos for the Black Ferns. Despite the Wallaroos leading in the first half, or much of the first half, they weren't able to really capitalize on that, and a lot of tries ended up seeping through. Mind you, in saying that, Ruby Tui actually scored a try. She wasn't originally in the Black Ferns main squad leading into this game, but then she was called in due to injury. So it's great to see her out there on the field and scoring some tries, and hopefully that will lead into potentially selections for the World Cup. But in saying that, there was a few tries there for the Wallaroos in two. Lydia Kavoa, she was excellent for them, I thought. And that late try for her really helped bring that scoreboard up for the Wallaroos. They will now move on to a two-game test series against Wales before the World Cup.
T, do you remember the winning streak we mentioned on
20?
A little bit up, a little bit further.
25.
28 in a row now. 28 for the Black Ferns over the Wallaroos.
Because all the good Wallaroos players are playing NRLW now.
That is so true. I'm just going to leave it at that. That's the reason why. But, mate, yeah, the Wallaroos, they've got some defensive issues to work out. Saw Portia Woodman absolutely carved up down the edges of the Wallaroos' defence. But hopefully they can get their act sorted come those Welsh tests.
Yeah, 100%. And I think when you look at their attack, like, the attack isn't really their problem too much. They're able to score points. It's definitely that defense under fatigue. And I think just also being able to, New Zealand do it so well. They manage to shift the ball out quite early. They give their strike power on the edges that ball and say, here you go, do whatever you want. And I think for the Wallaroos, definitely that defensive part of, okay, we need to slide out. We need to really dominate on our edges. That'll be interesting to see how they go with selections. Do they change it up? Do they bring in some new talent? What do they do leading into this World Cup? Because like we saw previously, they really struggled to come into this World Cup. So I think they really want to make it known that they deserve to be here.
Perfect, Shell. Absolutely perfectly summed up. And I believe that's all we have time for.
Oh, guys. Well, happy Monday and thanks so much.
Great work, Shell.
Great work, Shelly. Talk soon.
See you next week.
Nesian Footy with Sam and T.
Well, Sammy, today we have a special guest because the amount of times we've said her name on our show over the last few years has been crazy. And there was a moment during the Game 1 State of Origin Women's game where a lot of past players and present players come together, and she was there. and I had to shoot my shot. So I had to shoot my shot. So I had to I gave
some different words, but anyway.
I gave Nijan Footy the biggest rap, and I'm so honored to have her here today. She's played in the last 3 years for the Brisbane Broncos in the NRLW. She's captain Tonga in rugby union. She's also represented the New Zealand Women's Rugby League team 10 times, and she was the 2023 Daily M Center of the Year. Mele Hufanga, welcome to Nijan Footy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mele, I want to start by 2 from 2, Brisbane Broncos, NRLW. You played the Titans yesterday. How's the body holding up?
Oh, not too bad. I felt like yesterday our team did pretty well. Didn't score a try yesterday, but
no try for
another game this weekend.
No try. The week before, though, she scored a mean-ass try and then done that LeBron sally.
I did see it, and it must have been the theme. Because Tiana Pinatani didn't score on the weekend too, so I don't know, something must have been going on there with our Tongan centres. But but I do want to say you are my favourite player. I just want to let that know. As T said, we've been watching you for a while now. I just love the way you play the game, and gutted that you're still playing league and not union. But we will get into your rugby league journey. But we mentioned you're Tongan. I just want to start there. Like, whereabouts in Tonga is your family from?
My dad's from La Paha, and mum's from Mu'a, Tataka Mo Tonga. I was born in Tonga. I came to New Zealand when I was 9 months.
Whereabouts in Tonga were you born?
I was born in Viola Hospital.
We must be related because my family's from Mu'a as well.
Oh, you're related.
We have to be.
All the Tongans.
Yep, the Katoa's there, so there we go.
My mum's last name is Tupou.
Okay, I'm going to go and ask my mum because... And if I'm related to you, then I'm going to share them.
Then your name's going to be mentioned even more.
Even more so.
Then we are going to be cousins.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you moved to New Zealand from Tonga at the age of 9 months. What was your upbringing like in New Zealand?
My upbringing obviously wasn't the greatest, but grateful for my upbringing and everything. Dad wasn't in the picture. Mum pretty much raised us as kids. The six of us, I'm the third eldest in my family. Growing up, we didn't have much, I guess, for me. I surrounded myself. I'm a family person, and all we had was each other, our siblings, mum. Mum comes from a massive family as well. And I felt like sports back then as a kid, you know, us islanders, I feel like every islander, they just, whatever sport they throw at us, we'll play. We just have that kind of talent where we can play whatever sport. And I was that kid growing up, whatever sport I played in school, sometimes I just rock up to school just to play sports. But then footy came in when I got a little bit older into high school. I started playing when I was proper footy, and I went Southern Cross back at home. I started playing at a young age, year 9, playing rugby union right through to year 13. So, yeah.
Part of that upbringing, you know, massive family, humble beginnings. I think we can all relate to that. What was it like then with a household full of kids, you know, mattresses in the lounge room, just all in each other's company? Yeah, what were your fondest memories?
I think for me is probably going to bed late, laughing and stuff and that. Getting trouble from our parents, telling us to go to bed. And I don't know, just having that feeling where, you know, no matter what we do in life as kids back then growing up, like, you know, just that love feeling, that ofa mafana feeling that we had around home. If we're hungry, you know, we didn't have to drive down to McDonald's. This ma bak baku there, you know, this toast, this bread, this jam.
Did you have that with the Milo? The ma bak baku with the Milo?
You know, yeah, we had that. Keke vai, keke isi there. Like, that's what I miss back then, eh? And like, I feel like even growing up, like where I am right now, like I look back and I'm like, man, I miss those times. And I'm like, it makes me miss back home, you know. And I feel like that's probably like my memorable memories that I remember growing up, humble beginnings and everything. So, yeah, I feel like just growing up, as long as I knew that there was love around me, then I'll be good no matter what situation I'm in life. So, yeah.
Man, I have to give a big shout out to your mum. She sounds like she really held it down for the family, and you know, having 6 kids and raising them, you know, in New Zealand sounds like a tough job. But also, she sounds like she gave a lot of love to the family. How much does your mum mean to you?
She means everything to me. I think for my mom, I grew up in church as well, and like, you know, when you get older, sometimes your faith, like, you know, you fall off the wagon and everything, but I know in my heart, my mom will always be my prayer warrior and my life where I go. Every time I see her, she always says, Tukweinu. Stuff like that, and saying, put God first, 100%. Everything I do is for my mom. I feel like I am who I am because of her. She shaped me into the person I am, especially with her words of wisdom that she has always taught me. So she means everything to me. So, yeah.
Where did playing footy fit within your childhood? Where did that all start for you?
I think because I have a lot of boy cousins. And back then, after church, I used to hang around with all the boys, and the boys always, like, you know, play borash and everything. So my boy cousins and my brothers, they knew I was into footy, and they're like, yeah, run it straight. So every time after church, I'll come outside, and then they would just be like, run it straight to the boys and everything. And then I just did that. You know, Borash back then was like, run it straight challenge right now. Eh? And it was just gangster. It was pretty cool. So I used to do that every Sundays. I always look forward not to go to church, but to play Borash.
It's so true. In the car park out the front. Nice.
And even like playing touch, eh? Back then, like, you know, if there's no grass, just play touch on the concrete. And I feel like growing up with a lot of boy cousins and my brothers, and just doing that, they got me into footy, just watching it and just hearing them talk about footy. And some of them played like back then as well. So I got to grow up and watch them play and be surrounded around them. So I think that's where it started for me, playing Borash.
And then what about when you started to play, you know, professional rugby union? How did the family take that on board? Were your cousins claiming, yeah, but it was because of them, because you ended up making a big
school of hard knocks.
Every time we always hang around, we always reminisce about it. They're like, man, remember that time at church when you ran it straight to this guy and then this guy? It's pretty cool and everything. But when I started playing footy professionally as well, union and stuff and that, my upbringing still wasn't the greatest. You know, obviously, having six siblings, including myself, and like, we only had one vehicle back then, and it was really hard, like, you know. At the same time, like, mom had to, like, sometimes, like, when I couldn't get a ride and I had to ask all my friends and stuff like that. And sometimes I feel a bit marked because I don't want to be a burden to my friends' family dropping me off when it's raining. Or, like, back then I didn't even know how to catch a transport, public transport, stuff like that. So there was little things that I struggled with growing up as a kid, also playing professional footy. Obviously, there was doubt there. In my head, there was many times in my head I'm like, man, should I just stop playing because I don't really have the support that I see my friends have? Like, their both parents are there. They have more than one ride. You know, their family puts them first. But for me, it's like, I don't know. I just had that feeling like maybe I'll just stop playing to make it easier for my family and my siblings and just go to school, get a good job and help out with the family. But at the same time, I just couldn't help how I felt. Like, man, I love footy. I love playing it. I enjoy it. It makes me happy. It's my escape from reality. And, like, I don't know. So those are some of the challenges that I did face growing up. And it was hard. It was really tough. But looking back at it now, like, I'm glad that I showed resilience and I didn't give up. So, yeah.
I couldn't imagine the NRLW without you. So I'm glad you did stick to your guns and stayed persistent with it despite all the challenges. Now, when we see where the women's game is, especially at grassroots, there's, you know, so many teams now that have young girls playing the game of rugby league or rugby union competitions. For yourself, what did that look like for you? Did you have to play in a boys' competition? Yeah, how did that work for you when you were coming through?
I didn't really play junior club back then, like as a young kid. For me, I just started playing because back at home, there's a women's rugby league club back at home in NZ. And I just remember I played my first rugby league club was Otahu Leopards when I was, I think I was 17. So I played rugby union on Saturday, then I played rugby league Sunday. So it was like that. I did that for like probably 3 years. And that's where it started for me, just playing league. Once I started playing league, I just fell in love with it. Like, it made it so much easier when I play Saturdays, you know, just seeing space, and it was just fun. But I also felt like, because I've been playing rugby union for a very long time, and the club I played for, I felt like I had responsibilities. But when I played league, I didn't feel like I had responsibilities, that where I just play free, you know, and you just do whatever I want. But when I play union, it's like, damn, okay, I have this role and I've got to look after this, and then I'm worried about my role. But for league, I felt like, man, I'm free, you know, I can do this, do that. And I think that's probably why I fell in love with league and just the sport itself. It's that's real cool. It's fun.
Have you heard that insight before, Sammy?
I think that interview's done. We're done. just wrap it up.
It just makes sense.
It just makes sense. It's freedom. No wonder why the game is dying a bit.
But I think also like the weight that you put on yourself when you're playing rugby union, and I think that leads to, you know, you captain, being the captain, being named as the captain for Tonga in rugby union. Yeah, what did that mean to you to be able to represent your motherland, but also be the captain of the nation?
Oh, it was an amazing feeling, especially because like it was last minute. Like when I got into the campaign, obviously I wasn't the captain, and then some things happened behind the scene, and then I got called to be the captain. I was like, oh damn, wow, this is massive. But I think I didn't put too much pressure on me when it came to Tonga, because I feel like I'm just that person where I don't need that C next to my name. Like, everyone's a captain in my team. Like, if I'm going to be a role model, then everyone's going to be a role model. As long as I know that I could lead a team by example and do my job as a team to make it easier, then that's good. And I feel like I had really good support around me. And a lot of the girls are saying, like, man, people already looked up to you. And, like, when I hear people say that, then I know that I'm safe. I am in a safe environment. I am in a safe space where I don't need that C next to me. So, on top of that, it was a really cool feeling knowing the fact is that, you know, I get to put that red jersey on, represent my mom, my grandparents, also my father as well. So that made her very happy. So that was a cool feeling.
Yeah, just on that feeling, like what did it actually, you know, can you describe those emotions that you had while probably singing the anthem, putting the jersey on for the first time and being amongst other, you know, Tongan women, you know, representing their family and their culture? Like, can you describe that feeling?
I think the feeling that I had when we sang the national anthem, what came to my mind was just, I literally just had flashbacks of my whole childhood growing up, like looking back, like just our masiva api, you know, the food that I had to eat growing up, you know, where I had to walk to training in the rain, where there was times when there was no food, we had only had ma, you know, when we had to just eat manioke. If there's manioke, that's all we had. But just that loto mafana that I had, that I knew that my faith wasn't the strongest, but I knew that God had me no matter what. And I am right where I belong. And it was just like goosebumps all over my body. And I was just like, all I could say was like, man, my Lord Jesus, you know, like this is exactly where you put me. You have given me the tools, you've given me the talent, and now I've just got to use it. And that's pretty much what I just had in my head. So yeah.
That's one of the best descriptions I've ever heard a player explain the feelings they had when they represent their nations. Yeah, we've heard a fair few, but I think that for me, that goes to one at the top of the list. You know, then you shift to rugby league, and you know, what was that decision like for yourself to change the game of rugby union and follow the path of league?
I think for me, it wasn't very hard for me. I felt like union was always there for me, but I also, for league, I knew that would be the pathway for me to, I don't know, to move forward, take my family forward. Mm. You know, even though I'm not the oldest, but, you know, my Lord Jesus or God probably gave me this talent to move my family forward. But I felt like league will be the pathway for me, not only for my family as well, but I don't know, I just felt like I really loved the game of league. And it wasn't easy. It was easy for me to move from union to league. And yeah, I felt like for union, I was just playing the same thing every single year and I wasn't really going anywhere. And I loved my experience for union, obviously. But yeah, it wasn't a hard choice for me to make.
Yeah, you mentioned that you love the game because of the freedom that you have, and you know, you enjoy playing league. And
guys, I'm sitting right here.
Seriously. But one thing I do notice when I do watch you play, you just seem like you love playing your role in rugby league. You know, always with a smile on your face when you scored that try last week with the LeBron Sally, girls jumping on you. It's just a real pleasure to watch. You also represented the New Zealand women's team. Yeah, what was that decision like to represent New Zealand, but also you know, may have had the opportunity to represent Tonga, but then choosing New Zealand?
Yeah, I knew this question was going to come. But I'm all for it. I'm all for it. When it came to that that choice for me to make and everything, it was pretty tricky. I feel like that will probably be not the hardest, but one that I had to really think about. But also I feel like I know a lot of people were probably wanting an answer for that, but anyways, when it did come to Tonga and New Zealand, obviously I was going to play for Tonga. And I knew that Tonga wasn't in World Cup. And that time I was like, damn, imagine that, like going to England for World Cup, playing for the Kiwis because Tonga's not in it. So I literally took a massive risk. I called the manager and I was like, hey, look, he asked me, he told me that if I play for Tonga, then I can't play for Kiwis. But Kiwis was never part of my plan. Like I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, I was like, yeah, okay, sweet. And he just said, if you play for Tonga, then you can't play for Kiwis for World Cup. And I was like, oh, sweet. Usually when people tell me that, I'll think about it. But this is the first time ever in my life I was like, oh, okay, I'm not going to play for Tonga. Keep in mind, I had no plan. Haven't been to any training, have no idea where I'm going. Anyways, called him and I told him, okay, I'm not going to play for Tonga. I'm going to just risk it and just try and make Kiwis. And then it happened. They played Tonga, da 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 da. One of my good friends, KV, called me and said, oh, just come to Kiwis training. So I just turned up every day for Kiwis training and then got the call up a couple weeks later that I got to go World Cup. And I was like, holy, it was so crazy. I took a risk and look where I am right now.
That's like, awesome.
That is awesome.
I was going to say that the Cook Islands played in the same World Cup. You could have just pledged your allegiance to the Cook Islands.
So here he is. He's recruiting for the Cook Islands now.
And then
mate, she's playing for Tonga before you even think about trying to recruit and try and find that bit of bloodline there in the Cook Islands.
But there's a number of the NRLW stars that represent both New Zealand and Australia that can play for Tonga.
That's very true.
You've got Yasmin Clydesdale, Tiana Bentani.
It'd be a stacked team. Playing rugby league and your journey, there's been a lot of challenges and you've mentioned your mum and I've heard you say in a couple of your interviews, hopefully I don't butcher this as well, my Tongan isn't that great, but the saying that she said, "Ai e kataki ke lahi." I've heard you say that saying before and I asked my wife, who she's Tongan as well, what does this mean? And she said that's one of her favourite sayings as well. But I'll let you explain what it means, but also why does that saying resonate with you and hit home with you?
I think just growing up and just seeing what my mom had to go through with us kids and everything, just how she was, like there was all these challenges has been thrown at her. And even like when people, like, you know, her family, like if anyone speaks bad about my mom or anything, she's always been that person where she's just like, it's okay, I forgive you, it's all right. It's like it builds character on her, but it also makes her stronger. And the reason why I take it with me in my journey in my life is because 100% I will get people who will, I don't know, show me. I will get people who will doubt me. I will get people who will be like, you're not even a good player, 100%. But if I have that attitude or that kataki in me, it's like, yeah, all good, sweet. To me, it builds fire. It builds fire in my belly, not to prove them wrong, but to like shut them up. Hey, not in a way where I'm like, shut your mouth, in a way where, you know, I'm going to use my talent that the man above has given me and I'm going to prove he's wrong. And it's not that I'm going to turn around and be like, I told you so. It's more like, this is who I am. I'm going to take in everything that you have said to me and I'm going to use it against you and I'm just going to keep working hard. And not just like, you know, keyboard warriors. It could be coaches as well. Of course, footy comes where coaches or people that means a lot to you, that they come and they say things that you don't want to hear. But also I'm like, I kataki ke lahi. Because if you kataki everything and you build that, man, it will make you stronger. And I feel like with everything that I've been through in my life, everything has been thrown at me and I just got to back up. You know, look where I am now. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So that's why I keep that saying with me.
I love that. And so that meaning, just to put it like in English, is it sort of excusing people's, you know, toxic behavior? Is that how you describe it?
Well, yeah, I think, and also kataki also comes with like different meanings. You know how Tongan, there's words where there's different meanings to it, but I see kataki in that way too.
Okay.
You know, just take it all in. No matter what it is, negative or positive, take it all in and just use it in a way where you're going to come out on top.
Use it as fuel.
I love that.
More wood on the fire. I love
it. Exactly. And just on that, when you mentioned coaches, you know, which coaches do you like the most that have got the best out, that help get the best out of you? You know, like what do they do different to help get the best Mele Hufanga on and off the field to perform the way she does today?
Oh, damn. Okay. I feel like I've come across a lot of great coaches. But for me, the coaches that I love the best is coaches where they can just be straight up with me. Not coaches where they tell me one thing and they go say something else to other people, just tell me straight up. Like, I don't take anything personal. Like, in my life is like, bro, I've been through the trenches. Nothing you say is going to break me. So just be straight up. Be real with me. And coaches are all, and also coaches who, if they say they believe me, then believe in me. Don't believe in me when my days are great. And when my days are low, then you're like, oh, you know, push me to the side. Like, I've been there and I've done that. And I don't want to, I know that feeling and it sucks. And I don't want anyone to go through that. And I, obviously, I know rugby league is just business. But at the same time, like, sometimes I feel like people forget that we're humans before we're athletes. So, yeah.
Oh man, I've loved hearing your journey. I've loved hearing about your upbringing, but also some of the risks that you've taken and your resilience. You're in the position that you are in now because of the person you are and the people that have taught you, like your mother. Last question from me: if there was any advice that you'd give to a young girl in the same position that you were when you were growing up, young Mele Hufanga, what would that advice be?
I feel like if I had to tell my younger self, it would 100% be follow your heart, do what makes you happy, and surround yourself with good people and always be kind.
Love that.
Very good, very good. One last one for me. Quickly, Shalom Saoso.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, are you staying away from her at training now, that age gap around contact? You know, when you have to partner up with someone? Are you staying away from her?
Well, I try to stay away from her and everything she's got. You know her? She's going to be a superstar one day.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that we are in the same team. We are, oh my gosh, so glad. She's gone.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Mele, it's been an absolute honor to have you here on Nijan Footy. I wish you all the best for what's to come, you know, the years to come. And you know, I just loved hearing your story. So thank you and ofatu.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me. I had fun. So I hope that whatever I said today, hopefully it gets to other people who's been in my shoes. But at the end of the day, it's all love. So thank you, guys.
Hey, guys, I'm Alan Alalatoa. I'm from the Wallabies, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, we'd like to wrap out our Nijan Footy Mondays with a game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. It might be footy, it might be not. I don't know how you're winning this one, Sam. 22, ooh,
yes,
and I'm on 21 because my cuz Toops, he got
Shot
you a
Toops.
Couple points.
Shot Toops.
I just used the same question that I've used with you before. You know, give me three flags with the colour yellow, Pacific flags with the colour yellow in it.
I'm actually glad you brought up the flag theme because I'm going to stay on that theme.
Oh,
this time, it's from the Palau Pacific mini games. 23 Pacific Island countries that competed at the games. I want you to give me three Pacific Island countries that don't have a star in their flag. And remember, the sun is considered as a star.
As a star.
Like, I know it sounds complicated, but when you think about it, there's about nine of them, I think.
Okay.
How many stars do Cook Islands have?
Nah, there's 15 stars in that one.
Oh.
I don't know if there's a star in the Kiribati one. Oh, Tonga.
Oh, you're locking that one in?
Yeah, locked in Tonga.
That's one, my friend. It's the cross.
There's a star on Samoa. There's a star in the Cook Islands. PNG has the bird, but I don't know if there's a star in PNG.
Ooh, that's good thinking.
I'll go PNG.
Nah, that's not one. They've got a star there.
Do they have a star?
Yeah, they got a star.
Palau.
Ooh.
Just because you spoke about how good it was over there.
Palau. Just that? But just that. What's in the middle? The yellow disc?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's...
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, well, you're right. And that disc, I thought it would throw you off because I thought you'd say it's a sun, so it would be a star, but it's actually the moon.
The yellow circle in the Palau flag is a moon, not a sun.
That's what I read.
Do you reckon people in Palau actually know that?
They do now. So, hey, two from three,
I'll take two.
Not bad, but that's our time up, my friend. Make sure you tell your footy-loving friends about Nijan Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcast or on the ABC Pacific website.
Ka kite. See you on Friday.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.